as always, Robert Reynolds. Dan, welcome in, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Ready to get going. Got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we might as well jump right into it because we have an absolutely loaded show to y'all. Just going to let y'all know. NFL draft just come and go. 8 dogs drafted. 11 have new homes. So we're going to talk about that. Florida State, Keon Coleman, made some headlines and ruffled some feathers. Some Georgia fans with some comments. We'll talk about that. Coach Kirby Smart, highest paid coach again, just got a contract extension. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Jaden Rashada, welcome to the Dogs. We're going to talk about that, talk about his commitment since our last show. First things first, we had 11. Nice. First things first, NFL draft. I know you're a Falcons fan. You actually get Zion Logan in the 6th round. So how do you feel about that?
That's the Falcons pandering. I'm great for Zion. I hope it works out really, really well for him. But there were much higher quality dogs that were available in other spots, and they were passed over. So, we had a chance to take Jalen Carter last year. Didn't do it because, you know, character issues. So, at the end of the day, I think I'm going to just become a free agent and become a fan of another team because Atlanta Falcons just pissed me off at a different level every single year. They're the dumbest son of bitches on earth, and I just it is whatever. Like I said, I hope it works out for Zion. This is nothing against Zion. I mean, great kid. Productive player, but you know, don't get me started. I'll get real wound up.
Fair. So you got Brock Bowers going the first dog off the board, pick 13 to the Raiders. Didn't necessarily see that coming, but I think that's a decent spot for him, to be honest. I saw this video of some Raiders fans kind of disliking the pick, and I was just like, oh boy, like. He's more than a tight end, but we'll let you figure that out.
But you know what? To be completely honest and to be fair to those fans, it's very much in the same ilk of the Falcons taking Michael Penix. It's nothing to do with the player. It's team needs. And like yeah. Brock Bowers is a weapon that the Raiders couldn't afford, if that makes any sense, because they don't have the quarterback situation figured out. They don't have the best offensive line in the world. They have, you know, the running back thing is – not 100% solid. It's just, to me, with the Raiders situation, like, and I talked about this on our show, is that I hope that it works out for Brock. But there's nobody to get him the football. Him going to the Jets would have made a lot more sense because they have a lot of things in place. And Aaron Rodgers is a guy who can get the ball. But, again, I hope it works out for Brock because he's a hell of a football player. And I don't think his first year – with the Raiders is going to be indicative of the talent level that he is because, again, they're not really a team that was – it just wasn't a good fit because they have a lot bigger needs than a freaking tight end, if that makes any sense. But at the other side of that coin is, you know, in the draft you want to add quality players, and he was the best available that should have been gone a long time before then. So for the Raiders, I understand their perspective is – we're not going to get the first of anything because we're picking 13. So let's take the best tight end.
Well, also keep in mind, like they do need a quarterback, but I was actually proud of them for getting arguably the safest pick in this draft and not reaching for a quarterback, right? Like, I mean, hell, you had in the first 12 picks, you had 6 quarterbacks, which was a first. Also, you had, what was it, 14, I think it was. 14 straight offensive picks. Mm-hmm. Nuts. I thought they did good picking him, to be honest, because you know if you don't find a quarterback or you have an issue there, look at next year's class, and I'm sure you'll probably get another quarterback, right? Get a quarterback first, and I mean you've got Brock Bowers at that point, so and he's versatile enough as well, right? I think that's another key. But you got Brock Bowers to the to the Raiders. Then a few picks later, you got Amarius Mims to the Bengals, protecting Joe Burrow. I like that. I think he's going to have good upside there. They're massive as well. You got Orlando Brown there too, and they're just huge human.
Well, that makes perfect sense to your point. That's, you talked about Brock being a good fit with the Raiders. This is a hell of a pick by the Bengals because Joe Burrow's arguably one of the most valuable players in the NFL, and your job is to protect him by any means necessary. And Amarius Mims is a massive human being, and he is going. Yeah, there's very little downside of that pick. Makes perfect sense to me.
Well, also keep in mind, right? I mean, at pick 18, right? There was already been a few tackles, right? So, you know, I had Mims going at 20 to the Steelers, but like I said, he goes pick 18, so you get two first round picks, and then in the second on night two, didn't take long for Ladd McConkey to get drafted. Excuse me, Chargers trade up and get him at pick 34. Our fun fact, had he been drafted at 35, he would have joined DeAndre Swift and Nick Chubb as 35, our 35th overall picks, both all from Georgia, would have been that case. Would have been a fun fact there. But Ladd going to the Chargers, Justin Herbert getting a weapon, I think that's a huge deal. Huge deal.
100%. And like they need pass catchers severely. All of their pass catchers are gone. They couldn't afford to pay any of them. So there is going to be plenty of opportunity for Ladd McConkey to step in and contribute. He's got to. It's like, it's not one of those things where, hey, it's going to be cool if he can. Like, no. Like, they drafted him to play because Keenan Allen's gone. Mike Williams.
Yeah.
They're all gone. Everybody's gone. So Ladd is going to get plenty of targets. So
I think he'll help out too. Obviously I think Herbert's one of the future quarterbacks, right? The future faces of the NFL potentially. So I think that's a good situation for Ladd. I think you'll notice a trend here as we move along. I think for the most part, most of these Georgia players end up in good situations, at least in my opinion. You know, we can talk about that too. Looking down, second round still, pick 42. I think this was arguably one of the best situations he could have been. Kamari Lassiter to the Texans. Him and Stingley is a pretty nasty combination, in my opinion. I think on paper at this point it sounds good, but I think that can grow to be a really good tandem.
Well, and not to mention that D'Amico Ryans is their head coach, and he's a defensive guy, and that defense was really, really good last year. Now, he inherited D'Amico Ryans. He inherited a team that didn't have a lot of talent. He has done a great job along with their front office. And forgive me, I don't know who their GM is, but between the two of them, they have done a really good job of roster building, where they have put a lot of really talented pieces on this football team. You have Will Anderson, who's rushing the passer, and they did a good job of getting to the quarterback. So that's going to make Kamari Lassiter's job a lot easier defending, because the quarterback has far less time to get rid of the football. So I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a very well put together football team. And I think Kamari Lassiter is primed for a lot of success. And I think that they are counting on him for that too, as well. Like, he's not a depth pick. They want him to play.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that was a good pick. And obviously we saw him at Georgia. Kid can lock down when he needs to, right? I think Missouri game, Luther Burden, when I think Kamari Lassiter and what his potential is. Versatility to move from outside to star if need be, or whatever the case. Move around within the slot, don't matter.
Hey, you know who else really needed a corner? The Falcons. They needed a corner, and they let Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Kamari Lassiter go. All after they took a guy who had a fourth round grade.
Woo! Lovely. I'm not going to talk about the Falcons on this one. I'm sure a lot of Georgia fans or Falcons fans are upset about that still, maybe. But moving on. So third. So you had three Georgia players picked in the second round, and the third one being Javon Bullard going at pick 58 to the Packers. You know, joining Eric Stokes. Actually, for now at least, I think that's the interesting piece. Is I know the news was out he didn't get his or they declined his fifth year option.
So that gives him
a chance to be a free agent after this year. Earlier second contract though. See what happens. But obviously Javon joins right a bunch of dogs. You got Quay, Devontae, Stokes. So now you got that Georgia. The Georgia up north in Green Bay, and I think that's a good situation for him as well. Because I think they needed help in the run game. I think you're going to see that with Javon.
Well, my biggest fear was that Tampa was going to take him, because it always seems like Tampa takes secondary players out of Georgia, or I don't know. Maybe that's true, maybe that's not. It just always feels that way. And I just had the sick feeling that he's going to go to Tampa, and I wasn't going to be able to root for him anymore. But they ended up going with the edge, Chris Braswell, and then that left him on the board for the Packers to take. So I'm really glad that it worked out that way. You know, I lived in Green Bay for a while, so I'm always going to be a Packers fan at heart. And the Packers did doesn't it just always seem that there's a handful of teams that do the draft really, really well? The Packers always seem to do it.
Eagles have started to do that really well, too. And it's not just because they drafted Georgia players. I want to make sure that the homerish take on this is out of the equation. We can talk about it later, but like the Eagles just seem to let talent like fall into their lap. It's insane. But obviously Javon Bullard pick 58 to the Packers. Then you moved around 3 and you talked about Tampa Bay. Well, Tampa Bay took Tyke Smith, at pick 89. And I think from a nickel position, that's a really good spot for him. Obviously, the connection with Coach Bowles there, I think he will get the most out of Tyke, and I think put him in a good position to succeed there. I think this is another situation where you can come in and play.
Yeah, and like you said, defensive coach, talented defensive coach. Tampa Bay has always been known for the defenses. They've taken a couple dogs in the secondary in the past. The good thing for me is, and it should be this way, right? It should be this way. But it's like all these teams that are taking our players are taking them in a position of need. So it's going to give these guys an opportunity to get on the field early. And that's all that you could ever ask for, is an opportunity to play. And, you know, it's like some of these guys, they get drafted by teams and they're buried in the depth chart. They never really have a chance to be successful. Well, I think one of the things that the NFL teams have identified is that Georgia players are ready to play. So it's a lot of the Georgia players that get drafted early in the draft are in situations where the teams that are taking them are needing them to play. And I know that it's supposed to be that way, but if you look at a lot of the guys playing, it doesn't always work out that way. So I feel like our first handful of guys are really in a situation where they're going to compete for opening day reps, like where they're going to be on the field day one.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on that one. So that was the day 2 picks. And now you move to the day 3 picks. Kind of slow, considering you got 4 rounds, but the first dog off the board on day 3, Cedric Van Prang Ranger, in round 5, going at 141 to the Bills. First thought on that was, okay, I get it. I think the Bills, I know some folks that, you know, think that Josh Allen isn't the greatest, but at the same time, if you protect him and you keep him upright, things can happen. I thought it made sense for me if the Eagles picked him, right, regardless of the round, but obviously that did not happen. But going to the Bills, I think that's what you're putting it again. Good situation. You could argue. I think you'll challenge for a starting spot. I think probably be the backup for maybe a year or two. We'll see, right? Being a pure center, a little bit trickier there. But at the same time, I think you see that where he comes in and he can play, learn their offense. We know he's a smart individual, so there's not an issue there. And I'm sure the Bills did a study in the tape too. So very smart. I think that's going to help him potentially in getting onto the field.
You're absolutely right. And center is one of those positions where typically the guys who have had the most success are like unrestricted free agent signings or really low draft picks. Now, I don't think that Buffalo has a need necessarily at center right immediately, but talent always proves out. And, you know, that's one of those things. Centers is tricky, though. And I think you kind of hinted at it where, you know, if you're a center only, it's kind of tricky. It might delay your getting on the field because if a quarterback has a center that he has a good relationship with, you know, you're really hesitate to change that. My only concern, and this is just a concern that I haven't heard this voiced by anybody else, is that this is a kid from Louisiana who played football at Georgia, and now he's going to go to probably one of the coldest places on earth in Buffalo, New York. and play half of his games that if you've never been to Buffalo, New York in the wintertime, don't. It's cold as hell. I don't know how he's going to adjust to play into that cold weather, but I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah, see, my thought is I wonder if Josh Allen had a say in kind of making that pick and that selection. Because, I mean, my thought was this, right? Like, there were other centers available. Now, depending on the value, right? Like, I get it. Because, I mean, they did need receiver, and they addressed that, different things. Obviously, team needs, you have to prioritize. But when it came down to it, right, like, I think at that point in time, I think it was light years ahead in regards to the best center on the board, if that makes sense. I know the Oregon center or whatever, he got drafted early, I think second round. But in the fifth round, I think that's a pretty good pick. I just think that. Obviously, after Cedric, you go to the sixth round, and that's where Zion Lowe comes in, gets drafted to the Atlanta Falcons. So, and that was pick 197. We kind of talked a little bit about that as well. I think they like him for his size. I'm just curious if they give him the opportunity, if Raheem Morris gives him an opportunity to actually, right, push for some kind of reps. Don't really know. It's hard to say also being a sixth round. But I will say this. I'm not mad, but I'm kind of shocked that he actually went drafted in the sixth round. I would think maybe at most late seventh. But the fact that he got drafted, I'm happy and congratulate him for getting drafted. You are muted, sir.
I apologize there. Yeah, and you said it's surprising that the Falcons took him maybe a round early. It shouldn't surprise you, it's the Falcons. But yeah, my only concern with that part of it is that the Falcons took, four defensive linemen. So, mm-hmm. And then they've got two guys that they like at the defensive tackle. So you're right. He's going to have to really, really show up to take reps, to get reps. Because like you said, I mean, this is one of those things that you hear NFL players talk about all the time, is that if you're like a 1, 2, 3, first, second, or third round draft pick, they've got a lot invested in you. That first, second, or third round currency, the value of those picks is so high, they can't afford to miss on those picks. So you're going to get every opportunity to be successful. But like when you're like sixth or seventh round pick and then, or you're an unrestricted free agent, they really don't care at that point. And you have to earn those reps, if that makes any sense. It's like they're not going to just give you reps.
I mean, like we can laugh at the Falcons if we need to, but I do think this is going to benefit him. I think the Falcons need for pass rush and better line play could benefit him. In my opinion, you're more tied into this, but the Falcons did an okay job, I think, with the defensive line. But when you're dead last in sacks, In the past 3 years, I think it was, 3 years in a row, and you've had, 81 combined sacks in 3 years?
Yeah, so it's 81, average of 1.2 sacks a game, the absolute worst in NFL history through a three-year span.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that. So you have to address defensive line, and you have to address pass rush. And I think the Zion Lowe pick, I think, was a kind of a testament to that, right? Getting a Georgia kid, you kind of appease the fan base. I think Raheem Morris kind of changed the philosophy there. Obviously, still Arthur Blank. You can argue if he has a hatred for that. But with the comments that Raheem talked about Georgia and things like that, it makes me wonder if Atlanta will start drafting more Georgia kids moving down the road. Don't necessarily know. Just food for thought, in my opinion, too. But so you had, like I said, that rounds out the 8 drafted. And then you've got the 3 undrafted, which kind of surprised me. Kendall going to the Eagles, signed an undrafted free agent. Dejon going to the Steelers. And then Marcus Rosemary-Jackson to the Commanders. I think those are good situations. I think you get all those guys get to prove it in my opinion. I think they'll make a roster. Whether they'll get playing time, questionable. Maybe special teams will to start. But I think most of those – I think Rosemy will make the Commanders roster. Questionable with Kendall. I think if he's healthy, I think he'll be fine. And then Dejon can easily make the roster with Najee Harris's fifth-year option not getting it's got declined. So maybe there's something there for Dejon in Pittsburgh.
Well, if you look at the Eagles situation, like you said, if Kendall's healthy, I don't see him having a problem picking up second-team reps at all because they got Saquon Barkley, obviously, to carry the load. But, you know, with a running back, Saquon's, I want to say he's like 25 or 26 years old, so he's not old by any stretch of the imagination. But he was used pretty heavily with the Giants. So they're going to want to obviously feature him, but at the same time, get somebody to take the load off. And Kendall has the talent to do that. And that's the thing that's never been the question, as far as I'm concerned, with Kendall. It's always been the health. And that's the one thing that you can't control. And it's not like, I think Kendall took a lot of crap for stuff he couldn't control. And I think it was just really unfortunate and unlucky, but he's a really talented back. And then Dejon with the Steelers, like you said, I think he can make that roster. I think it's going to be harder for Dejon because he's always underestimated. Like, it's not a talent thing with him because he came into Georgia and nobody expected big things out of him, but he ended up being the lead dog. And because he earned it, and he just, no matter how much somebody wanted to tell you that Dejon couldn't do it, he shouldn't be the guy, he just ended up being the guy. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, if you have patience with him, he could end up being the guy.
See, my thought was this, though. I think with Tomlin, and really for both of these guys, the Eagles and Steelers both are known for taking a bunch of Georgia players. So part of me believes they understand what they're getting just because they're from Georgia.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think you're banking on Kendall to stay healthy. If Kendall stays healthy, you get the best version of Kendall Milton, I think you've got a good shot easily making the roster and maybe fighting for some reps, even with Saquon there. Because they're different, right? And they complement each other if he's there. But I think with Dejon, I think it'll be interesting to see as well. Dejon surprisingly can run between the tackles surprisingly well and get skinny, very, very elusive because he has the ability to get skinny and one cut go. That stuff to me matters because when it comes to the NFL, the holes that you saw at Georgia are far smaller. Far smaller. I mean, if you get a wide open hole like you saw at Georgia, that's a home run shot. You better take it to the house. Getting skinny, getting upfield, all that stuff matters. And I think both of those guys can do that easily. But then you look at Marcus Rosemy at the Commanders. Listen, they just got Jaden Daniels, and I think that's a good, you know, Marcus Rosemy could, if he finds his way into a rotation or getting some kind of reps, maybe that's something good for Jaden Daniels, right? We'll see. I mean,
the Commanders don't have a lot of receivers, so, like, there's an opportunity.
Yeah, I think by default there's an opportunity. Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, just thinking. Just because you're undrafted doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be able to make it. Like, we've seen some crazier things happen.
Yeah, I mean, my point is that if you're walking into a loaded room, your odds are stacked against you. He's not walking into a loaded room. So there's opportunity for him. And, you know, one of the things that I've always heard from guys that I know that played in the league is that if you come down to a 6th or 7th round draft pick, it's better to be an undrafted player because – you get to pick your situation.
Oh, it's 100%. I mean, you're losing the guaranteed contract, but you have options. And I think it weighs itself out, right? Because, for instance, Marcus Roseman Jack Saint, you know, he probably got talked to, what, probably 10 teams, I'd assume. But you have the option to look at a situation and assess your options in regards to my possibility of making a roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Commanders is an easy shot right there. So, I mean, it's the same could be said with Kendall and them too. I mean, listen, Kendall going up there with a bunch of dogs, right? And then you look at Dejon, bunch of dogs, right? Darnell and Broderick, and you see what I mean? Like, they're going into good situations, even as undrafted free agents. They got to choose, but at the same time, they went to good situations. Now, whether they make the roster, well, that, obviously that is TBD as they go through the right through the mini camps and stuff like that. But opportunity to get into making a roster is more than, you know, enough.
Yeah, the one thing that confused me as far as that goes, and, you know, you were just talking about a second ago, if you're undrafted, you get to pick the situation that's best for you. Sam Hartman picked the Commanders. Like, they just took a quarterback at number two overall. Like, that guy's going to get, you know, but they took Robert Griffin in the third, and then they turned around and took Kirk Cousins in the same draft. So maybe it works out for Sam Hartman. That was actually a guy that I was kind of hoping would catch on with the Falcons before I knew they were going to take Michael Penix Jr. in the first round.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, ultimately, I'm kind of excited to see how these guys do because I think they landed in good situations. If you had to – who's going to make an impact the earliest out of all these guys? Who do you think would be that guy to make that candidate Mims. For the – you think Mims?
Yeah, because you're playing – you're not going to be asked to play left tackle. You'll be asked to play right tackle, something he's very familiar with. And you're protecting one of the most valuable pieces in the entire NFL. I think if you were to stack up the most valuable players in the NFL, like who's actually – I'm not saying MVP. I'm saying actual and, like, most valuable. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals are nothing without Joe Burrow.
Oh, dude, it's obvious. Every year that he's been healthy, they've made the playoffs and AFC championships and stuff like that. When he's not on the field, they don't even make the playoffs.
So he has the ability to make the biggest impact because he could start day one and protect arguably the greatest piece in the NFL. Now, if he can't do that, he won't be on the field. So there's that. And then outside of that, I mean, obviously, Brock Bowers would be low-hanging fruit saying that he's going to make an impact, but I don't think the situation that he's in is going to allow him to be that guy. That's why I picked Mims. And then I think Laster is in a really good spot too.
I'm going to go Ladd McConkey. I think with Herbert, you know, Herbert there, looking at the division as well, right? Looking at the division, you've got the Chiefs, things like that. There's a possibility that you see, you know, some key moments and some big impacts being made, and especially because you don't have Mike, you know, you don't have Mike Williams or, and then Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. Losing those guys, that's a lot of reps. A lot of targets. Can Ladd McConkey do the same thing that we saw him do at Georgia? We'll see. But if he's able to create separation, I'm not saying he's a Puka Nacua, but there's a good shot that you can make an instant impact as a rookie. I would love to see it. But also, I think Javon Bullard could make some waves early. We'll see what they look like, you know, how things go. I think Tyke would be – I think all of them can state a case in all seriousness. Maybe Cedric, I have to see about that situation. But and Zion, I think Zion has an opportunity. And if you get an opportunity, can he make the most of it? But only time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, me saying Mims isn't saying that the other guys can't be good. I'm just saying.
No, 100%. I agree.
I think of all the players, he's got the most. Maybe I'll rephrase it this way. Instead of saying who's going to make the biggest impact, I'll say who's the most important that they have success in year one. I think Mims having success in year one is paramount because the reason they drafted him is to protect such a valuable asset. So he's got to be successful almost.
No, that makes sense completely. I think that's fair. Let's do this. Let's jump into our first break of the night. Make sure to like, follow, subscribe, follow us on socials and everything as well. But first sponsor of the night, guys, y'all know them. You love them. Apotheos Roastery. Do yourself a favor. You can go to our website, dgdpodcast.com, and you can shop Apotheos. Or you can go to apotheosroastery.com. Use code CCC at checkout, and you get free shipping and 20% of the proceeds from your order, right? So that's all your bags of coffee, that's K-cups, 20% of that will go to the Classic City Collective. So incentivize yourself by getting coffee. You can also support the dogs in the Classic City Collective as well. Just shop in Apotheos. Like I said, dgdpodcast.com or apotheosroastery.com. Use code CCC at checkout. Also, make sure to follow them on the socials. They're at Apotheos Roastery on Instagram, at Apotheos Coffee on X. Good coffee, best coffee. Just going to leave that there. Mocha Java, delish. I don't know if you've ever.
So, you know, my son plays basketball, and we went to Lake Point this weekend, and guess what kind of coffee they serve at the Lake Point basketball facility?
Let me take a guess. Not Folgers.
No, that'd be Apotheos Coffee.
Listen, based out of Kennesaw, so you're supporting a Georgia-owned. Listen, they do a lot for the collective. They do a lot for the university. Support them. Support us. In the meantime, and get yourself some damn good coffee. Listen, there's not a batch of coffee out there. Every flavor that they make, I've had, and it's delicious. I can promise you, every batch is delicious. So get yourself some Apotheos Coffee and support them dogs. With that being said, we're going to talk about them dogs. Kirby Smart, new contract extension, $13 million a year. I think it's 2033 or something like that, I think maybe. Deserved. One of the things that I'm good.
Yeah, what is it? Isn't it like 13 and a half million or whatever?
I think it's like 13 on average. But if, like, say for instance, if you go all the way and win a national championship, I think it turns out to be like 15.
Oh, nice.
Well, based off of bonuses and stuff.
You said well deserved. Probably more well deserved than. I don't think there's an adequate way to say how well deserved this is, because Georgia has been trying everything for 40 years to figure out a way to win. And he has not only won a title, and we've seen other guys win a title, right? He has turned Georgia into what Alabama was. And yes, I do compare Georgia to Alabama. Like, and if that makes a Georgia fan mad, I'm not sorry. Like, Alabama was the gold standard, and Kirby brought it over here and has now made Georgia the gold standard. Like, people compare themselves to Georgia now. And if that pisses you off too, then I don't care. But he has turned Georgia into a machine where we are putting, like, not only is he getting the 4- and 5-star players, they're successful at Georgia, and then he's turning them around and putting them in the NFL. And he's doing that at a clip that nobody else has ever done before. They were talking on the radio today. There is a legitimate chance, legitimate, not sky, like pie in the sky, legitimate chance that Georgia puts 20 guys in the NFL draft next year. 20. They went down the list, and like at no point where you're like, that's bullcrap, that guy ain't getting drafted. Like, no, like, so is that deserved? Hell yes, it's deserved. He's doing more than anybody's ever done.
There was a record. I think he set the record for his first 7 years at a school. There was a graphic. I forgot how many it was. Dude, he crushed the total draft picks in 7 years, his first 7 years. He demolished it. I mean, you got to keep in mind, this is also the same coach that had 15 players drafted in one class. That's the record. And 5 defensive players from the same school in one class. 5 first-round defenders. Insane stuff, by the way. Insane. So, I mean, you look at the recruiting. You look at all these things. What I like most about this, though, Dan, is this. This news comes after the remaining staff, the assistants, the coordinators, the position coaches, they get their raises. And to me, I like that because he wanted – to me, I felt like – maybe this is, maybe this isn't. To me, it feels like Kirby wanted to make sure his guys got taken care of, and then he gets taken care of.
Yep.
And that helps a ton because that means you retain some of your key staff, helps you bring in your key staff. Right, T-Rob, that's a big deal. You bring him in, right? You keep Schumann, Todd Hartley, right? Trey Scott, all these guys. Uzo's still here. All these guys come in. Yeah, and obviously Bobo and Coley and whatnot too. keeping these guys on the staff, right? It's nice to be the highest paid coach in the country, right? Highest paid head coach. But how many times have we saw that happen for them to lose that same team, that same head coach, to have to find new coordinators because they didn't have the money to pay them or someone else paid more than what they could?
Right. I found that stat you were looking for. Kirby Smart in the first 8 years has got 63 players drafted into the NFL, and Nick Saban's was 48.
That's fucking insane. That's insane.
63 players.
Oof.
In his first 8 years.
Oof.
I'm not great at math, but isn't that like 7.5 players per draft or something like that?
Wait, you said eight years, and you said 63?
So yeah, 63 divided by 8 is
it's just 7.8.
7.8. I was off by 0.3.
There you go. I was off by a while, but either way. But yeah, that's just insane stat, man. That's a lot. God almighty, that's a lot of kids.
I mean, just think about that. Programs, like, there are programs that have only put 7 guys in the draft, and Kirby's averaging that.
Dude, there's so many schools that put 7 guys in a matter, a span of 8 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And he's doing it every year.
Mm-hmm. So this new contract extension, well deserved. I'll leave that there.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't need our kudos. I promise you
that. No. No. I mean, you're also incentivizing winning a championship too to get $15 million. That'd be nuts too. But I think at this point, Georgia is looking at it like money well spent. You got to do what you got to do to keep the best coach in college football.
Yeah, to be completely honest with you, I don't know that this is Kirby-led. I don't think Kirby's going to the school saying, hey, you better G me up, make me the highest paid coach, or I'm leaving. I don't think that's happening. I think it's one of those things where Georgia wants to reward him. But if you think about it from Kirby's perspective, he lives in Athens or just outside of Athens, right? I guess probably Watkinsville or something. And he ain't paying for his house. I mean, that stuff's probably already paid for, right? That man ain't walking into any restaurant anywhere near Athens and paying for a meal. No way in hell that man's paying for a meal. He ain't paying for a drink in the state of Georgia. I mean, that man doesn't need the money. He ain't paying for nothing. I'll tell you this much, if I ever see Kirby Smart in a bar and somebody ain't picked up his tab, I'll do it. Shit. That man ain't paying for a drink. No way.
Same could be said with Stetson Bennett, by the way, too. Anyway.
All right.
But, yeah, no, I mean, and then also Josh Brooks gets a raise too, which I think that's good because I know we can say what we want about McGarity, but I think Josh Brooks was an upgrade compared to McGarity as an athletic director.
I'm not sad that McGarity's gone.
I mean, like I said, I said it's an upgrade. I think Brooks brought that energy, and I think that's going to help because I think he understands what it costs and what it takes to win. Because if you've noticed, like, you look at the football program, we did what we're doing now. But look at baseball team, right? Year one, new head coach, and you've got Charlie Condon breaking records. Like, I think you can criticize, like, the priority of certain things, but I think Josh Brooks also understands that football drives that school.
You got to the point that I wanted to get to, is that he gets it, he understands it. Whatever Kirby wants, Kirby gets, right? And you can say the equestrian team says that's not fair. Yes, it is, because if the football program is humming, if the football program is moving, they are going to bring in so much revenue that it's going to support all the other ones. So whatever Kirby needs to keep that program on the top of the shelf, then he's going to get it. But if you calm your jets for just 2 seconds – that is going to benefit every other program. Mm-hmm. So baseball is a non-revenue sport. They generate zero revenue if they lose money every year. Okay? It doesn't matter how good they are. It does not matter. They could be the number one team in the country. They're still going to lose money. It's just the way it's built.
Basketball. Sports are just negative deficit. They're deficit. They operate in a deficit.
Basketball, in a lot of schools, is a revenue sport. In Georgia, it has not been. Now, maybe that's turning. Who knows? But as of right now, they are not. So yeah. If Georgia, like they're like all the players, the football players get to fly first class across the country. Damn right they do. But you know what? You're getting an upgrade at Stegman Coliseum, not because you earned it, because the football team brought in enough money to where we could do it.
So, yeah, well, and it was kind of needed too, because you had to.
Okay, but the money had to come from somewhere.
Correct. No, you're not. Both can be true.
But yeah, both are true. So, you know, like the girls' softball. Listen, my daughter plays softball, and Georgia does a great thing every year where they have like the father-daughter day. You bring your daughter to a game. It doesn't cost anything. You get to go play catch in the outfield and all that stuff, whatever. That softball field is a damn nice facility. If you've never checked out Georgia softball's facility, that's a damn nice facility.
I still think they got to do something with Foley Field. I feel like it's very, very outdated compared to other baseball situations, but working in time.
In time. Yeah. We got to do something with the Stegosaurus.
You know, I think I'm going to end on this. I think this is important to note. I think, and take it how you will, I think Kirby Smart and Georgia have entered this Saban-like contract structuring in a sense that, right, because you remember when Saban would always get a contract extension to make him the highest paid. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see that, or very well could be seeing that, take place with Kirby in Georgia. And it's by necessity.
Unless Kirby gets to the point where he's like, I don't need the money, give it to my assistants. I need more money for my assistants. That's the only.
I mean, he probably has a choice. But, I mean, to be fair, are you really – like, Andrew Smart is probably going to be like, Dad, just take this. Like, we'll make it work. I don't know. I'm just saying. But he runs the ship anyway. So let's be honest. Like, Andrew Smart got us 2 titles, not Kirby Smart.
All right.
He runs the show, baby.
Yeah, all right. That kid is wild.
Oh boy, he's something else. Something else. Before we all right, so we've talked about Kirby and that. We gotta do this, but let's jump into the second sponsor of the night. Guys, get yourself geared up for game day in the fall with our friends over at Alumni Hall. Listen, do yourself a favor. Now, this, you have to be specific. Go to our website, dgpodcast.com. Shop Alumni Hall through our website. If you do that and you place an order, whatever the case may be, a certain percentage, 8%, I'll give it a specific, 8% we will send to the collective on behalf of your purchase. That's something that the DGD podcast wants to do for the collective. But we're trying to do what we can to support them dogs. So that being said, go to dgdpodcast.com. Listen, Alumni Hall's got your Nike, Cutter and Buck, Peter Millar, Yetis, 47, all that good stuff. You name it, they got it. All licensed Georgia apparel and gear. Get yourself for game day, tailgating, you name it. Go to dgdpodcast.com, shop Alumni Hall today. As we welcome in Keon, it's the perfect time to do this. It's the perfect time. Absolutely perfect. And you want to know why? Keon, you want to know why it's the perfect time?
Why?
Because there was a specific situation that pissed a lot of Georgia fans off. Had people feeling some kind of way. Let's jump straight into it. Keon Coleman was on a podcast, and long story short, basically said that Georgia losing in the SEC championship game cost Florida State. And I'm sitting there, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but basically I'm listening to it as kind of an excuse. And it just continued on by basically just going off on Twitter with Georgia fans chirping. Listen, he was just one opt-out. Just one. Even if Florida State would have been full strength, you're still getting beat by 20. Like, I think they did a model before that bowl game. Full health, like everybody healthy, Georgia's up by favored by double digits easy, like 16, 17, fully healthy. Why I don't understand this situation where you still, like, you're blaming, like, taking a shot at Georgia for losing at Bama, like losing to Bama, right? And then just, like, the bowl game didn't matter. It's like, dude, you could have played, but you didn't. So what's your – I mean, I thought it was nonsense, in my opinion. I didn't entertain it as much as other people did. But I do understand people getting pissed off about it. They have a right to be pissed off about it.
I don't see what they're mad about. We played them. We lined it up. We beat the shit out of them. We move on.
I mean,
it's that simple, isn't it?
I mean, one plus one is always two, right? So
depends on most, who you ask.
Mostly two. Sometimes three, but I ain't gonna get into that math.
I have a legit question. How many first round players did they have sit out of the draft or sit out of the game? How many?
One.
Was it what?
One.
It was first. Yeah.
First. How many did Georgia have sit out? Two. So we're winning that. How many second round players do they have? One?
I think so. It's
one. We had two second round players.
No, they played. Let's see.
No, that's my point is just like, bro, like, y'all need to calm down. Like, we had talent too that either didn't play or played a little bit.
So here's my thing, right? When you talk about a team losing by 60 points,
yeah,
it's hard to say that your full team healthy is worth 60 points, especially when you don't have a differential of really beating any team on your schedule by at least 35. So it's kind of like, right? Because at least for Georgia, we could say we did that Ole Miss game.
We did it all damn year.
We really did, but I just threw out that one. But even then, in that game, like, I just don't understand. Look, I know you wanna get a little morale consolation prize to your fan base, you know, because Florida State feel like they got cheated. And for what it's worth, I agree with them. They did get cheated. Because at the end of the day, people can say, oh, well, it's about what team looks the best and this, that, and the third. No. I think you play to win the game, in the words of Herm Edwards. And you go out there and you lay it all out on the line. And that's one thing I feel like Florida State did throughout the regular season. But still, nonetheless, that's not an excuse for your guys to sit out, to say, oh, drafting and this and that and the third. Because if – I'm going to just be honest. If I'm Mike Norvell, I'm looking at everybody like, you could have played. Don't sit up here and cry later because your boys got nailed to the cross. Like, I'm not hearing those tears. It is what it is, man. Y'all came out there. Y'all got y'all ass beat. Rightfully so. Like the good Lord intended. And then you left. I mean, it was a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, get out.
Right. Let me back up your point real quick. So this is just ranked teams, okay? Georgia beat Kentucky 51-13. Kentucky was ranked number 21, okay, or number 20. Florida State didn't have a win like that, okay? We beat Missouri 30-21, okay? That's only 9 points. That's not a big deal. We beat Ole Miss. This is the game you're talking about. They were number 10 in the country, 52-17. That's an asshole. Mm-hmm. All right? We beat number 21 Tennessee, 38-10. That's a 28. That's four damn touchdowns. Four damn touchdowns. You can string together three or four FSU games where they didn't score four damn touchdowns. We won by that much.
Wait. Before you go further for the audience, just in case y'all don't remember, Tennessee scored a touchdown on the first play of the game and then never again for the rest of the game.
That is correct. So, I listen, that's my point. I'm just going to go over the ranked wins. Those are ranked wins that we had. We lost to number 8 Alabama. Well, Alabama was not number 8 when we played them. I don't know what that bullshit is. But anyway, yeah, we lost to Alabama 24-27, which could have easily been a game that we won. It doesn't matter. But that, like, we put it on people all year long. So, like, what makes you think that we wasn't going to put it on you, though?
Right. And people want to look at it, yet again, Florida State fans want to look at it like it was a consolation prize game. You can say that. I'll be the first one to say that I feel like Florida State, they got shafted when it came to the whole playoff situation. They really did. I mean, because they deserved to be in. You can say whatever you want, but at the end of the day, they showed up to the party undefeated. Problem is, they had the wrong address, and they got jumped.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a crazy thing, too. Like, I understand, excuse me, when you look at the situation, right, like, both teams made a case for them to be in the playoffs, and that, you know, obviously Georgia kind of screwed themselves over by losing that game, right? And I understand where he's coming from. It, you know, obviously, if Georgia wins, they're in the playoffs, and it would have been a playoff matchup anyway. So it's kind of a slight at the playoff committee by not selecting Florida State too. But just even if it was in the playoffs, it would have been an ass whooping. I'm sorry, it would have been an ass whooping either way. It wouldn't have mattered the bowl game. I genuinely think a different. It's the contrast in culture that. Is blatantly obvious. Now, if there's something to play for, sure, you're probably going to see Jared Verse and you know, all these other guys. But that's not just because you get screwed out and you can't just take your ball and cry and go home. That's what a lot of them did.
Oh, I just want to say this because this just popped in my head, and I know I missed a good portion of the draft recap. Wi-Fi going horrible. AT&T's coming out here tomorrow. But thank you to all 31 of the NFL teams for drafting Georgia players that you did and not allowing the Eagles to get any more of them. I deeply appreciate that.
They got Kendall Bilton in a free agent.
He's like, damn it, man. This is the best one. This is the best part of my day. You forgot about that. It's all right, Keon.
Thank you to the rest of the NFL teams for picking up everybody else from Georgia. Because, boy, if the Eagles would have somehow ended up with a Kamari Lassiter or a Javon Bullard, I would be absolutely conflicted.
Oof.
Because, wow. I will say this, side note, I know this is a college podcast, the Green Bay Packers are about to be really good this year. Really, really good this year. Also, shout outs to the Atlanta Falcons for ruining my first round dreams, but also picking up Zion Lowe. Thought that was really
nice. That's right, you wanted Penix, didn't you?
Yeah, sure did. So now he's going to be damn near 30 before he goes out there and plays any meaningful football. So,
who are you a fan of?
Cowboys? I'm a Giants fan. We only got Andrew Thomas over here right now, as it seems. I mean, we have Lawrence Cager, but, you know.
Hey, it is what it is.
You know, Andrew Thomas is still holding it down. It's so crazy to watch him play every Sunday and say, man, you deserve so much better than us. But – I'm happy he's here because without him, we wouldn't have a competent offensive lineman. So,
you ready for this? It's time. Keon, last topic of the night. I'll let you get started on this. I'm going to give you your thoughts on this first. Jaden Rashada to Georgia commits.
Well, love that. All right. So, fellas, I'm just going ahead and tell y'all this. We're just going to have a little honesty hour, us three and everybody else that's watching. So here's the thing. Jaden Rashada is going to be our next quarterback. I know. Crazy. Wow. What? Yeah, I know. But it's going to be great. Gunnar Stockton, we appreciate you. We do. Jaden Rashada is going to be our next quarterback. I just need the fan base to understand that. Accept that and move forward. Now, we will bring back this. Look, we didn't bring him in for no reason. One, I'm not going to lie to you. But he's going to be the next quarterback. I like the pickup. I think it's going to be really good for us moving forward. I promise you he'll play at Georgia. He didn't come here to be a backup. He could have just stayed where he was at.
Well, he may not have come here for that. But
no, I mean spending his whole collegiate career being a backup. He didn't.
Well, there are plenty of guys who think that way, but like Puglisi, if he's what they say he is, that's gonna be tough, bro. He's gonna be tough. I don't care who starts as long as we're winning football games. It doesn't matter to me. But correct. I don't think Gunner is gonna be the guy either. But yes. I mean, he is this year. I'm obviously Gunner's going to play this year if something happens to one of our quarterbacks because they're not going to get. You know what? You might bring in some interesting points right there because
I mean, let's just
if he's as good as they say, we'll see. But I would just say this: Puglisi's going to be in the conversation.
Oh fair? No. Okay. So I think the way how it's going to work, I think Rashada is going to be our quarterback next year for the next 2 years. And then by Ryan's, I'd like to say it would be his junior year. He's going to be the quarterback taking over.
Let me pause you right there. Rashada comes in with 4 years of eligibility, by the way. So that's the same as Brian Puglisi.
Ooh.
I want to interject right there because that's
going to matter. Okay, so that might change things. That might change things. I thought he had only 3 years left of
he only played like three games, so he got to technically didn't count the year. And he got hurt. But I'll tell you this. First things first, Kirby wanted four scholarship quarterbacks. You have four scholarship quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Now, to Juan's point saying that it was a horrible choice, I'm not going to say it's a horrible choice. I don't think it was the first choice. Maiava, the one that went to USC, was the first choice.
Yep.
But what's gonna happen is this: next year, right? I think this year, you're gonna see Stockton be the backup. Get the reps, see how things look, right? Going into next spring, the Rashada pickup is all about next year moving forward.
Yep.
And you look at the situation after Carson Beck leaves. It's Gunner's to lose. But when you're going to sit there and you're going to have Puglisi and Rashada both at your heels, the leash might be short. A lot shorter than with Carson Beck.
Yes.
I will say, so Juan saying that he might make the defense better being on Scott team.
Hey, it's valuable.
That shit matters.
It does.
Talk to Stetson Bennett. That shit matters. Nate McBride will tell you about that shit.
Well, also think about it for quarterback development. I know people laugh at this, but like I put stock in this. If you're a quarterback on Georgia's scout team, you are facing the number one defense in the country every single day. If you can start to have success against that damn team, Saturdays are going to be easy.
This is the only downfall to being a scout team guy. You don't necessarily get to run Georgia's offense. You run other offenses.
Yeah, but you're still developing.
You're getting reps. Yes. But, like, and the reason why I say that is because I think getting enough reps at learning Georgia's offense can make or break things. Because, like, when – depends on how it plays out, right? I mean, like, the spring is obviously the most balanced time.
So I agree with Juan 100%. That's why Gunner's prepared. He went against that defense every single day.
I mean, you have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to agree with it. So, I mean, I think it can make – I mean, I think it makes iron sharpens iron. It's so cliche, but it's so accurate at the same time.
So you're taking one thing out of the equation. Quarterbacks are typically the smartest people on the team. Typically. I'm not saying always. Typically, they're the smartest guys on the team. I promise you, a quarterback can run the scout team and still digest Georgia's playbook. 100%.
I'm sure you probably can.
There's no maybe to it. Those guys can handle it because you're not learning the other team's plays. They hold up a sheet, you look at it, and you're doing exactly what it says. You do it one time and you flush it. Okay. But if you look at Georgia's playbook, they're in the playbook every day. The good quarterbacks are in the playbook every day. They're watching film. They're in the same film sessions every day that the other quarterbacks are in. So there's this thing called a mental rep. You have to do it. If you don't know how to take mental reps, you're never going to be successful in anything. Because In the NFL, the starting quarterback takes 95% of the reps. You are lucky to get two or three snaps of practice. So how are they able to be prepared? This is, you have to be able to take mental reps. The running the scout team is extremely beneficial, and I promise you, just because they're doing that, it does not stunt their development in Georgia's offense.
At the very least, you're going through progressions, regardless if it's in Georgia's offense or not. You're going through progressions. You're reading, you know what I mean? Like, you're able to go through the intangibles, right? Like development through the mental side of things. Obviously, you're going through physical reps, but progressions and understanding defenses and what people – because at the same time, Georgia's defense. So when it comes to it, like you said, Dan, when you come to getting a backup or first string and you're playing against the ones, you're understanding what you're seeing. Right? If you know what I mean? Like, it's the small details, right? Like, just – it sounds simple, but I'm going to do a very, very simple one. If you take – and, you know, just as simple as this, quarterback, motion, if a guy follows, what is that? Man. If they don't, zone. I know that's very basic, but I'm just saying, as you progress, you understand the small things that make it matter and make it impactful. You know what I mean? And Don motherfucking Juan says, Brady ran scout at New England, then took over. Yeah. So you would know. He would know. He was already 200 years old by the time damn Brady came into college.
That's dirty. Hey, listen. Juan's a dude. Juan is a straight-up dude. And why isn't he on the show? We need to get Juan on the show.
What?
Juan 360.
What?
What?
And that's the bottom line, because the chosen one said so.
Yeah, you weren't watching the show the other night, Juan, when I said that watching you play flag football and them trying to take your flag was like, that was crazy. Like I said, Juan could be in a phone booth. You still couldn't take his flag.
No, hold on. Unless you're a Chiseled Adonis, or not Chiseled Adonis, but a Black Adonis. Adonis will tell you. Juan used a different type of football back in the day. Yeah. He knows. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, I'll tell you that one of my favorite parts about this whole commitment from Rashada was he made some comments, and it seems like he wants to come compete, and it's not, it doesn't have that feeling, at least on the surface, what we saw out of high school, right? We saw everybody knows him from the Florida mishandling NIL, going to Arizona State, doing that right there. Okay. I think the whole NIL nightmare for them may have changed it. And I think you look at a situation where Georgia has a need, you're going to get protected. You're going to win games, competing for championships. If you can do all four of that and get the opportunity to be a starter, and I said opportunity, not guaranteed, because I think that Kirby will never guarantee that shit at the quarterback position. Just won't guarantee it, period, anywhere. You earn that shit. So
I'll let Keon say what he wants to say, but there's only one thing that I enjoy about the Rashada commitment. There's only one thing that I thoroughly enjoy.
Watching Florida squirm. Watching Florida squirm.
Damn right. They were so mad. And I'm here for it. Anything that hurts Florida fans, I'm here for it.
But we got Lagway, Georgia fans. We got Lagway.
Listen, I already told you, that kid's going to be good. Like,
I'm he's a dude. He is definitely a dude.
But where are them receivers at, though? Would you want – you know what? They stayed at college because they only had one draft pick.
Hey, I have a question. I'm going to show my ignorance because we all watched the NFL draft, right? So, everybody that came up on stage because they were in Detroit, it's like they were saying, like, what were they saying? Like,
what up, doe?
Yeah, what up, doe? What?
It's just a Detroit thing.
Okay, all right. I just thought I was missing something. I'm like, I'm not cool enough.
So, Juan, I say, this is interesting. Juan's saying he won't be mentally tough enough. I know you have high hopes for him, from him. But you have a better chance of stapling water to a tree than seeing play at Georgia. Listen, I mean.
Hey, I appreciate the kind words, Juan. I just saw that. I appreciate the kind words, Juan.
You know, I think if anything, no, it pushes whoever the starter may be at the very least. Let's appease Juan. If that's even the case, you would think the competition breeds excellence at that point. That's the goal. I'd be okay with it. If that means Puglisi over Rashada, I would think he earned it.
Play the best quarterback. That's all I want.
Period.
I mean, listen, keep in mind, listen, we saw with Carson Beck as a backup, bad week of practice turned his ass to sitting out for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it, like I said, that's what I love about Kirby, man. Nothing's earned with Kirby. Like, you have to earn everything. Nothing's given. Nothing's guaranteed. You earn that. You practice every day like your life depends on it. That's what I think. That's what benefits it. I'm gonna hold out the judgment on the mentally tough enough. I just want to see what he looks like. Right, he's committed to Georgia. We have yet to see him put on pads for Georgia.
Look, the way I look at it is, we have a quarterback that has a chance to win the Heisman Trophy this year. I ain't got to worry about this shit for a year.
Right. And I'm not trying to look too far into the future, because it does feel different to be in a space where I look around at the landscape of college football and say, honestly, who has it better than us?
Yeah.
Nobody. So
what does he have? I think I look at this arm talent, mobility, but I'm not, but I understand where you're coming from. He's got to develop, go through, you know, the mental aspects of the quarterback position. And I think you trust Mike Bobo to do that. And Juan, you know all too well, Juan, you know all too well about Bobo and how he treats that quarterback room.
I just think we spend so much time talking about stuff that ends up. What?
No, what do you mean by that? No, no, Carson. What do you mean? What did Carson have? Oh, the mental side of things. He had the opportunity to sit and wait and develop mentally. We already knew he had the arm talent and stuff like that. The measurables, things like that, right?
Develop.
Yeah,
he had time to develop. I mean, but like what I was going to say before Juan dropped the Juan bomb we end up arguing about so many things that don't matter. I mean, think about the whole Justin Fields argument. Everybody's arguing about Justin Fields, and that ended up not mattering. We argued about
still matters to some.
It doesn't matter to me, not a damn bit. Argued about the Jacob Eason take from. We argued about this, that, the other. We argued about this guy coming in. We argued about this guy. We argued about everybody that was supposed to be playing, JT Daniels and everybody else. It ends up not mattering. Like, we argue about things that don't even matter. Like, we are a year away, and that quarterback room could be completely different in a year. I mean, you might have two guys transfer out and two guys transfer in. You don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand that we're having a conversation for conversation's sake. I get that part of it. I'm just saying, just making a statement that I do think it's funny how worked up some people, not you guys, but how worked up some people get over stuff that ends up not even mattering.
I mean, welcome to Georgia fan base.
No, of course. That's every fan
base. No, seriously, because I love our fan base. I love every part of our fan base, because we have parts of our fan base that will stress things three years down the line like it's happening tomorrow.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Like, and it's funny, because it's like you listen to them and they're like, wow, you're passionate. You're crazy as shit, but you're passionate for sure. For sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Any final thoughts on the Rashada news? I'm kind of glad we got four scholarship quarterbacks now.
Me too.
Just from a situation where, like, I mean, you don't think about it until you have somebody get hurt, and then you know what I mean? Like, that's what you – because I think if Carson Beck goes down, we're kind of hurting. But I think
– knock on wood.
Yeah, no doubt. Keon, what are your thoughts on the dogs in the draft? We'll let you touch back on that quickly.
Yeah, I'm very happy for everybody that got drafted. Just like to take the time to thank all of those Georgia Bulldogs. I'm happy for all of those Georgia Bulldogs. And even Kendall Milton going to the Eagles, damn it. But I'm happy for every last one of those guys, and I appreciate every last one of those guys. They did something special. They were part of something special here for the university, and all of them are DGD for life. So I appreciate all of them.
Facts. You know what I'm most proud of? Juan being in the fucking chat tonight. Jesus Christ. I'm so happy to see that.
Cheese and rice. What I'm most most thankful for is that the Falcons didn't take a lot of the Bulldogs, so they don't have to suffer. And I'm gonna be a free agent. I'm gonna start looking for a new NFL team because I can't stand this shit no more.
Yeah, I'm still locked in with the Giants, man.
You're a better man than me because I can't take this shit no more.
Yeah, man, I've been through a lot over here. Been through some ups and a whole lot of downs, man. A whole lot of downs. I'm seeing a lot of mock drafts that have the New York Giants drafting Carson Beck. And I just want to say this before the season starts. I want to say this before the draft comes and before any more mocks come out.
So you're saying clip it. Clip this. Go ahead.
Yeah. If the New York Giants turn out to have not fixed this offensive line, Carson Beck, please don't come here. And it's nothing against you. I want to see you succeed. I really do. And I say that and I mean that from every fiber of my being. But if we don't fix our offensive line issues, which I won't know if they're fixed until this season gets played, I don't want you to come here. I don't. I'm going to be all the way honest. I'd rather you go somewhere else and succeed.
There you go.
That is the ultimate. I just want you to be happy.
Yeah, I swear to God. I swear
I'm breaking to God. Up. I'm breaking up with you because I need you to be happy, and I can't provide you that happiness you deserve.
I promise, because if things improve, love to have you. Or would the narratives be strong with me?
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
No, it's not you, it's us. that's literally us. You did nothing wrong, okay? It's just that we're going to be really bad this year, and I'm not going to lie. You might be the guy. Hopefully, offensive line is fixed, so you can be the guy.
Well, anyways, at least you're not a Falcons fan.
Yeah, we'll leave it on that note right there. Guys, Dan, where can people find you if they want to follow you, boss?
I'm on Twitter. You can follow me. I love to interact with people on Twitter, and I will tell you what my Twitter is. It's at DanKiley3. And then I'm on Instagram, and I told you what that one was last week, and I can never remember. So I think it's like Dan_3 or something like that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, you can find me. I'm on there. Yeah, Dan_Kiley3.
You and Harrison just started back up Top Dog Talk.
Yeah, we just started up Top Dog Talk. I absolutely butchered our first show because my wife got sent to the hospital. So there's that. But yeah, so we're going to try to do.
She's okay.
Yeah, she's all right. Everything worked out just fine. It was nothing. We thought it was serious, but it wasn't. It was fine. But we're going to go Tuesdays at 7:30. So you know where to find us. And we'd love to have you guys cross over. We're also a Bulldog show. Not exactly the same as this one. A little bit more rigid, not as free flowing. But you can tune into both and get some great information.
There you go. Guys, with that being said, make sure to go to our website, dgpodcast.com. You can shop our sponsors, Alumni Hall and Apotheos Roastery. Make sure use code CCC at checkout for Apotheos and get you 20% to the collective. 20% of each bag will go to the collective, and you get free shipping. Also, use our website, dgdpodcast.com, shop Alumni Hall. 8% will go to the collective on behalf of the podcast. With that being said, I'm Robert Reynolds. That's Keon, Dan. We will catch y'all next time. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Go Dogs.